Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau, and I want to welcome you back to another episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Today, we'll be talking in one part of the conversation about something that I have not as yet, until today, had an opportunity to discuss. We're going to talk a little bit about ballroom dancing. Now, you may ask, why are we talking about ballroom dancing? Well, for those that don't know, ballroom dancing is an actual sport. I had an instructor back when I was at the police academy many years ago. He was involved in ballroom dancing, and he was in competitions with it. Think like Dancing with the Stars. But ballroom dancing has many other benefits as well, one of which is health benefits. And on the line today is a good friend, Tudor Alexander. He uses ballroom dancing as a way to promote his business, which is called Seven Transformations. And, well, I'll tell you what, without further delay, help me welcome to the program, Tudor Alexander. Tudor, thank you for coming on the program today.
Hey, Bob, how are you? I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. Now, the first question I ask everyone is to tell us, who is Tudor Alexander and what do you do?
Well, that's a great question. I should know the answer to that, right?
You'd be surprised how many people don't.
Yeah, you know, that's the meaning of life right there, knowing yourself. Well, I think I got some of it figured out. You know, I live in Arizona. I'm a professional ballroom dancer and competitor by my training. And I teach ballroom dancing. I have students that I work with, you know, like any other instructor in a sense, where we prep them for shows, competitions, or just do social dancing. I've been doing it for about 10 years now. So what's a little different about what I do with it is that I use ballroom dancing as a personal growth and discovery tool, a self-discovery tool. I'm actually writing a book right now. I'm super stoked. I want to finish it by my birthday in October. I'm calling it Your Way Through Life, an instruction manual. So goal with this book is to write down and translate all of the things that I've learned through competing, through teaching over the years, into useful information that somebody can use in their own life without ever having stepped foot on the dance floor. I think that there's a lot of valuable principles in dancing and movement, and especially ballroom dancing. A lot of people don't realize, like, it's a small world, you know, and thanks to shows like With the Stars, it's kind of gotten more exposure, but it has so much value to offer because ballroom dancing, first off, is a very extreme sport. I mean, it's very difficult. It's very structured. There's a lot of analysis with it, science, performance, strategy, all this kind of mental work as well. That's why they say it's one of the best things you can do for mental health, even as each. Ballroom dancing specifically as an activity is the top thing that you can do to prevent Alzheimer's and dementia. So because of the mental involvement. But outside of that, you know, it's also a partner activity. So having that partnership element makes it very, it distinguishes it from other forms of dancing because you start to explore partnership. You start to explore connection, leading and following, teamwork. You know, I know you and I have talked a lot about teamwork and ballroom dancing. I use to talk to couples about teamwork, and a lot of them even feel like it's like marriage counseling, honestly, because they've been together for so long, but that doesn't mean that they've had to have a common outcome. You know, when we have to have a common outcome, that's when we learn about teamwork and cooperation. And, you know, sharing the lead, that kind of thing. So it is a really interesting thing. For me, I've always been really interested in philosophy, too. You know, that was actually going to be one of my majors in college. I wasn't dancing when I was, like, 5 years old. I started dancing when I was...
why ballroom dancing? I mean, why not, you know, field hockey or something?
How the heck did this happen? You know, when I was in college, my first year, I had to enroll for classes, and I had one more credit to take. And my counselor was like, "Oh, you should take ballroom dancing." And I was like, "All right, well, I need an easy A, and I'll probably meet some girls, so why not?"
Why not?
So yeah, but ballroom dancing, you know, from a philosophical point, which is kind of what I'm going to write in this book too, is that really, to me, it is the example of how physics and the universe work right in front of us. It's such a beautiful example of duality, of male and female energy, of, you know, these things that we think about, but we can see through ballroom dancing in action and learn. So for me, I have a high philosophical appreciation for it. So there's a lot of really awesome things about it, and all of that translates into my work with people and teaching. For me, it's a sport. It requires a lot of skill, but for me, it's much more about helping people. Everybody has a driving value in what they do, mm-hmm. you know. So you can be a mechanic, and your driving value maybe is to rip people off. Versus, you can be a mechanic and teach the word of God or spirituality mm-hmm. through what you do. So ultimately, it's always about what your driving values are. And for me, I use ballroom dancing as a tool to help people empower themselves, to discover confidence, to discover, you know, personal growth principles, things like that. So a lot of people, when they teach ballroom dancing, for them, maybe the value is to, you know, create aesthetics or create beauty or, you know, to have fun, those kinds of things. And mm-hmm. those are all valuable things. For me, it's always been a spiritual path, you know, with what I do in it. So that's what distinguishes what I do with ballroom dancing okay. versus...
Well, how long have you been doing this now?
About 10 years.
10 years? How long have you been doing it as an instructor?
Oh, well, I've been teaching and competing for about 10 years. I've been okay. dancing about, like, 15 years.
Oh, okay. Cool. And have you said you entered competitions and stuff? How's that gone? How many have you won and all that stuff? Do you know?
Well, the professional side of things is extremely competitive. I've never actually won a competition. We've made the final, which is in realm of things. So basically the way it works, competition. I mean, a long time ago, a bunch of white people got together and took something that is completely subjective and said, "Hey, let's compete in it." So that's pretty much how you got ballroom dancing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you look at like something, I don't know, like a race or whatever, any other athletic pursuit that is objective. And it's objective because there's a finish line. So regardless of how you look, so regardless of what technique you use, if you cross that line first, you win, you know. Whereas in ballroom dancing and some other similar sports like ice or whatever, they're very subjective. So, you know, how at some point when the physical ability is relatively equal among the participants, how do you then judge, you know, who's first, second, and third? I mean, there's different groups of people who think this is better than this and so on. So it becomes very problematic as far as placement. But as a pro, you know, to make the final, which is basically go through the various qualification rounds and get called back, that's pretty important. I've made the final several times with my partner. Although it is more competitive, it's becoming a good... The category that we compete in has gotten extremely competitive over the last couple of years. So it's exciting because it pushes your level up, you know. But I've been competing, like I said, for 10 years. I've been to, I don't know, maybe 100 competitions. So it's been a fun ride too, because I compete with...
Are you there?
Sure. Let's a guy or a gal who, or even dude, they can compete amateurs. If it's just one person, then they'll compete with a professional, which is what Dancing with the Stars was designed to promote. Dancing with the Stars was actually funded and created by Arthur Murray Dance Studios. So
Wow.
It was a great marketing scheme because it showed the world at large, especially women, which is obviously the backbone of the industry, that, hey, you know, you could be that girl. You could hire a professional and, you know, even though your parents told you to be a doctor, you can now be a superstar in your 40s or 50s. And that's very possible. You know, we have a system in ballroom dance. No other sport has this, where you can hire a professional, compete against other people in your own age and skill categories, and win like a world title in your division. So somebody who is in their 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s, they can have a nice goal, they can get dressed up, they can feel like, okay, you know what, I'm really going for something, and they can compete against, you know, other people in their age and skill category and play, you know, whatever, as a world champion or whatever else, you know. So that's a really cool feature because, you know, if you think about it, relatively speaking, let's say you were to hire a professional basketball player to play amateurs with their pros. I mean, it would cost you, you know, I don't know, a ton of money. You would, it would be out the financial range for most people. And, you know, ballroom dancing is expensive, but it's not that expensive for what you get to do as an amateur. So that's pretty cool, too.
Tell us how ballroom dancing ties into the seven transformations. Matter of fact, what are the seven transformations? What's all that about?
Yeah, so like I said, I've always been curious about personal growth and spirituality, philosophy, all these things. And ballroom dancing for me really kind of gave me a structure to explore those things. And I started to also explore, as a result, a lot of things in the energy world, like, you know, Reiki healing, alternative medicine, all these kinds of things. I really just had a very high curiosity for those things. And throughout my last, let's say 5 years or so, I had a lot of very profound experiences. I mean, I had some personal growth seminars that really changed my life. I had some energy retreats doing all kinds of, you know, that side of things. So about a year and a half ago, some things happened in my life and they inspired me to write a book on energy, on empowerment, on transformation, basically. And what is that and how can we get it more in our lives? And over the course of the last year and a half, I've been writing my notes and compiling ideas and starting to create my own system, basically, on how I, even when I teach people, you know, I look at, okay, what can I do for this person that's what's the most value right now? You know, because every person's different. When you work with people, especially in something like ballroom dancing where it's subjective, everybody learns differently. Everybody has a different thing to work on. You know, for example, I'll give you a simple example that will kind of illustrate the point.
Okay.
In general, you have two kinds of people that come in when you start teaching dancing. And one person is going to be very good at, let's say, hitting positions in their body, you know, having tone, you know, being very precise with their movements and strong, but they will be very rigid and, you know, very stiff in that sense. So they'll have to learn how to relax, how to transition between movements, that kind of thing. The other type of person will be very relaxed and they can feel the music very easily and naturally, but they will look sloppy and just unrehearsed. And they're going to have to learn how to really put tone in their bodies and, you know, learn the opposite. So the point is that as a teacher, when you work with somebody, you go through this initial phase when you meet them to identify who they are, at least to some extent, to a workable level. You have to identify, okay, what are their needs? What are their psychology like? What are their personality like? What do they need versus what do they want? You know, and I got relatively good at that as a teacher in the last 10 years. And that started to basically create this system of how I can identify where we are losing power in our life. And if you're familiar with the seven chakras, that's what the seven transformations are about. The seven transformations is a system of looking at seven main areas of your life that we are continually transforming. They're ongoing works in progress. And they're nothing new. I mean, it's, you know, you've heard about these things like, you know, your relationship to trust and control, your relationship to, you know, connecting with other people, to being generous, to expressing your opinion, that kind of thing. So those kinds of things are domains of life where... What was that?
That's what always gets me into trouble, expressing my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, there's the main idea of the system is, I call it spiritual plumbing. So spiritual plumbing, I just actually released a couple episodes on my podcast about explaining this whole system. So if you tune in this month, every Monday, I've got some explanations on there. I've got some graphs on my show notes. So I just happened to do that. So this whole idea of spiritual plumbing is, it's very simple, you know, and intuitive. You know, if you have a pipe that runs through your body, a spiritual pipe, it's supposed to carry energy, your spirit, you know, and when that pipe doesn't have leaks or blockages in it, it's flowing nicely and you can create your life. You have creative energy to spare. You are a fountain for the people around you, that kind of thing. But just like any other pipe in the real world, there's things that happen to it. It might get hit. It might spring a leak. It might, you know, create blockages over time. And we have to regularly tend to that part of our soul, because at one of those points or at several, it may spring a leak or it may get blocked. So for example, let's say the first transformation, which is related to the first chakra, it is the area that governs all these primal things like needing for safety or your relationship to trust or, mm-hmm. you know, having to control situations. So if your pipe is running smoothly there, well, then the natural thing is that you're at peace. You are, you know, in balance of how to trust situations healthily or, you know, be assertive in and not be too trusting, you know, that kind of thing. But let's say you spring a leak there and there's energy leaking through that pipe. Well, that's pretty easy to infer. I mean, your energy is going outward in the area of trust and safety. So that means you're preoccupied, you're worried, you're anxious. You know, you, what is that likely to make you do where you're going to try to control the situation needlessly? You're going to waste your energy, that kind of thing. So that's the basic idea. It's a system to intuitively explore how we are losing power and how to get power back. I use it in my dance teaching in the sense that I use it as a way to examine what a person, how my approach to a person is going to be through dancing, because movement is very powerful. It's a very powerful tool for therapy, for working on things, you know, on top of the language and intellectual stuff that we do. So for example, if I see a person in my dance lessons that is tending to be very distracted, like let's say they aren't focusing as much, that seems to be a pattern, then to me, that means that they have a leak in their sixth, you know, transformation, which governs the mind, meaning that your mind is too open. So with our mind, when we look at that, everything is about a balance between two extremes. You know, if the pipe is leaking energy, that's not good. If the pipe is blocked up and it's not carrying energy, that's not good either. You want somewhere in between where it's a space. And with your mind, for example, you want it to be somewhere between having an open mind where you can accept new information and have creative thinking and intuition, and a closed mind where you can make healthy judgments and, you know, whatever, assert certain things, you know, analyze that kind of thing. Well, if it's too much on one side or the other, then that's no good. If you're too open-minded, then you're going to be super distracted or naive or whatever else. If you're going to be too close-minded, then you're going to be judgmental and things like that. So, you know, those things are intuitive. That's not something you need to read a book about. But I see it through movement. You know, I see, because those things get reflected, they're energy. Everything is energy. So it gets reflected through, you know, your movement. If somebody is distracted, it's going to be very obvious in how they look around, you know, how in dancing, especially ballroom dancing. Again, ballroom dancing is a very structured activity. So we choreograph everything from your nose to your toes. So when you get to a high performance situation after the first couple lessons and you start actually committing to it, you know, something like, let's say, where you look with your head is very precise. It's got to be here, then there, then over here, then there. So it's very sharp. So when I see people like drifting off with their eyes or continually, you know, being loopy or whatever else, I know that now my lessons for them are going to be targeting that transformation without even saying the word transformation. I don't say these things, but for me, it's an energy system. So now the things that I work with that person on are focusing, using their mind, you know, channeling their ability to be aware, that kind of thing. If they're control freaks, and I can see that through how they're grabbing my hands and they're trying to hold on for dear life or looking at their feet constantly, I work with them on letting go and relaxing and, you know, following those kinds of things. So for me, this energy system And I intend on writing a book about it. It's for me, it's the bigger picture. So now how does this relate to my life? The Seven Transformations was this book idea that I had a year and a half ago. I've been working on it here and there. I started a podcast called The Seven Transformations to kind of help me spread my ideas, to kind of, you know, build a community, to articulate myself. And it's the big picture. For me, I'm not going to be competing forever. You know, ballroom dancing is always going to be part of my life in some way. But a couple years ago, I realized, you know, this is coming to an end. This is not going to be like this forever. And
that's very
personally funny. I don't really see myself involved in the dance business or the dance world specifically, like for my future. You know, I don't want to own a studio. I don't see myself being a judge. Like, I don't really care, you know, about it. I see it as a tool for personal growth and discovery. I don't see it as something that I want to be involved in. So I had this epiphany. I'm like, holy smokes, you know, I need to expand. You know, I care about transformation. I care about personal growth. So how can I bridge myself into that arena? And that's what I'm doing right now. You know, now I'm self-employed. I was working for a studio for many years and I'm recently self-employed, which has been a blessing in my life to be free and to be able to create this vision that I want. And when I'm done dancing professionally, and I don't know, I got another 3 more years. I mean, maybe 4 more years, we'll see. But when I'm done with that, I want to move into the arena of personal growth, spirituality, energy work, that kind of stuff, and public speaking. I have this book I'm writing right now, Dance Your Way Through Life. That'll be the first one that'll articulate kind of how I teach dancing in a personal growth kind of way. And I'm really excited for that. And the Seven Transformations is like even more broad. It's more like just, you know, basically a personal growth, you know, all the way. So that's pretty much how that ties into it. It's the bigger picture that I'm working into. And it's also a tool that I use to evaluate my own life. You know, I think you have to have tools. I'm a big believer in tools. And the more tools that you have to observe yourself, to become aware, that's really what it's about. Awareness is the number one thing. And every situation that comes into your life, you use different tools to look at it and to grow from it. Otherwise, you know, you're not going to get anywhere. So for me, this is a tool that I use in my own life and my teaching, and that I want to eventually spread to other people that they can use it in theirs, because I've found it to be very valuable and useful. And I think it's not unique in the sense of the information presented, but it's unique in the sense of my life experience and my interpretation of those ancient ideas. So,
okay. You mentioned your podcast and you said the name of it was The Seven Transformations.
Yeah, it's The Seven Transformations. I'm on iTunes. I'm on Spotify. All pretty much any place there.
Tell us about your podcast. What do you do on the podcast?
Well, you know, it's been interesting because I didn't know squat about podcasting or social media before this year. So I had a podcast, sort of quote unquote podcast. Like, it was just a fun little thing with my friend last year where him and I were just goofing around and we were just putting our recordings on YouTube, and that kind of fizzled out. But I'm like, you know, I kind of like this. I like talking about my ideas. So I wanted to create my own, and I knew that I was wanting to create books and things. I'm like, I need to practice what I'm going to talk, and I'm going to build a community and things like that. So I created this podcast in January and I just put it out there, you know, and it's grown really well. Actually, I've got about 7,000 downloads since January, which is
that's good. Like this. Yeah. That's so good.
For me, it's been a real evolution, you know, because I've never done this before. So it's gone through several iterations, but the basic idea, every Friday, I have an interview that I post, that I've interviewed a ton of people so far on one of two things, either creating a life they love, which is kind of like basically how do they create their life right now. And people who are anywhere, like entrepreneurs, orthodontists, I've had dancers and artists on there. So it's all variety of people. It just basically, how are they creating their life? I'm really interested in, you know, people's life story. And then the other part, the other interview that's going to be on there every Friday is called What is Transformation? So the point of that interview was to look at the transformative aspects of somebody's work, you know, and I believe the transformation
fundamentally exists in everything that we do. You know, it, transformation could be making your bed in the morning. You know, if you look at it that way, it doesn't have to be some fancy thing on an Oprah episode. You know, it could be an everyday thing. So that was my point with those interviews, is to really get that to be a familiar idea. So that's every Friday. And then on Mondays, I post just me talking, you know, about a particular concept. And I range the gamut from, you know, my ideas on personal growth, how to deal with stress, you know, some useful tips, various experiences that I've had recently. This month, like I said, I posted this whole spiritual plumbing idea, which is kind of breaking down like the whole seven transformations, what it is, you know, that kind of thing. So it's a variety of interesting topics, you know. So pretty much it's twice a week, and then that's it. My goal for it is to we'll see, is to really take it to the next level and have a place where people can come on a regular basis and get inspired, get motivated, you know, learn about life, and you know, just a positive source of information. So,
amen.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Bob Thibodeau. We are all out of time for today's interview with Tudor Alexander. I find this fascinating. I hope you are as well. I hope you're getting a lot out of this, because, you know, the reason I asked Tudor to come on is ballroom dancing is not something that is just done, you know, oh, let's go dancing. This is, as he explained, you know, they have techniques, they have movements. It's kind of, I like relating it to figure skating that you see on the Olympics and all that, where all these moves are being judged, and how well they land the moves and how well they perform the moves, that is part of their score. That's what ballroom dancing is all about. That's what he was talking about looking a certain way and turning a certain way and doing the steps a certain way. That is practice, practice, practice. And it's concentration, and it is physically and mentally exhausting. And it's so important that you understand that. Now you can't just go out and do it, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to come back with Tudor next time, and we're going to let him finish this interview, but then I'm going to do something special. I'm going to introduce him to the lightning round. You won't want to miss that. Till next time, this is Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Remind you, be blessed in all that you do.